All right, we're going to get started with this wonderful apps, BCS, OData Search, O365.
Oh my.
Good one.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Serve my purpose.
So I'm Chris Givens. I am from sunny San Diego. All right. I have my nice tan going on here.
Me too.
Hey, you're kind of tan too.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got a few books. We're going to, you know, you guys asked some good questions here at the end. We got some books to give out. Author of the Microsoft SharePoint 2013 administration book, amongst other people on there. I'm also a SharePoint Server MVP for my hacking ability. I don't have my little thing. I'm a hacker. My background is computer science, so I love all this tech and coding and reverse engineering type of things, and it's kind of one of the reasons why we're doing this session. I'm also a trainer, MCT, for a long time, but I also own a company called ACS, Architects Connected Systems. We do all this, lots of courseware that when Microsoft doesn't do it, we supplement it, and then everyone gets trained, and you learn lots of stuff. In addition to that, I'm also actually go out and do work for people, make real money. And so I was a senior architect at eBay when we did their upgrade, and I was a senior architect at General Atomics, who did massive server consolidation. You know, if you're not familiar with General Atomics, they do the wonderful Predator jet that our country loves so much.
My name is Fabian Williams. I have a blended background, starting from engineering, and then I went to DBA, and then finally end up in the development environment, which is where I love. I work at Planet Technologies as a SharePoint architect. I mainly hang around, if you see me on the online, it's usually talking about BCS or workflows. I blog on the SharePointFabian.com. My handle, I tweet way too much. If you guys follow me on Twitter, you all know that, under Fabian Williams. Connect with me certainly at LinkedIn or by my email. I do answer all emails, but understand, just like you, I have a daytime job. I will get back to you, even if it's to tell you that I don't know the answer, but this person does. Do not give me your billable work to do unless you're going to share the charge code with me. If you share the charge code with me, then we can have a conversation. But you know, if it's all about the sharing of knowledge. So you send me something that's you're stuck on, I'll help you, because when I was there, somebody helped me.
And then if he can't figure it out, he sent
me. I sent him the email. Exactly. Yeah. That's how we're here today, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm normally asking Fabian things now. He's getting crazy with some of this BCS stuff. So a little bit of our agenda. We're going to talk about how did this session come to be. How did we get here? Fabian's going to do a little bit of an overview of BCS and how the app model plays into BCS. How does O365 fit into things? And then in the middle of that is this topic of subscriptions and notifying messages, messaging back and forth between SharePoint using external lists when data changes. So that's what we're going to look at. So the question is, how did we get here? Well, I drove.
I didn't drive.
Ba-bum, bum. He flew in his G650.
Yeah.
Now, I wish they would have had that car out the track. Now, that would have been pretty awesome, right? Yeah. I would have gone a lot faster than 90.
90 miles an hour.
But seriously, how did we get here? What led to this session? Well, I do a lot of work with Microsoft Learning / Learning Experiences. We call it LEX. Sometimes we add the Luther to the end of it, but that's another story. But what happened is I was one of the co-authors of one of the search courses that prepare you for those tests downstairs. So hopefully everybody's gone and taken their test, and you're all certified SharePoint experts now, right? But this particular mock course, 20489, the person who originally built the outline of the course and what everything was supposed to cover said, we want to do notifications, BCS notifications for external lists, and to notify SharePoint when an external item has changed. I said, great. I love it. Let's do a lab on that, right? And so what I ended up doing is in Module 9, if you've ever taken this course, there is there's a lab you're going to do. And so what I did is I went out and said, okay, it's brand new, so there's not always going to be a lot of documentation. So, but the documentation that's there, and not to hit on any of the doc team members, they are friends of mine, right? So it's just a lot of work documenting SharePoint, let me tell you. What happened is I go out to the documentation, and no one outside of the product team had ever done this. Right? It was the first time. And so I got in, I looked at it, and all the stuff that was there, it didn't work. It was frustrating, you know, but after many, many days, I finally got it all working. And it took many, many permutations to get it working. And then the other thing is that Fabian thought this was going
to
be
a great topic. Yeah.
So that's what got us here. Yeah. So with that, everything we're going to show you has been blogged about. A lot of the what I did, the code you're going to see, has been already posted somewhere. So if this is later on, you go and say, yep, I want to do this. The code, the working code, is there, and you can go do all of it. Right? So with that, we're going to turn it over to Fabian so that he can talk just a little bit about BCS and the app model and how that works.
All right. So just to make sure that we're all level setting ourselves here today, I want to provide an overview of just what business connectivity services is, what it does, just at a very high level so that when you see these things later on in the slides, you know, they click. So business connectivity services provides several different things out of the back through a service application that's in your on-premises environment or in the cloud. The end product that you want to get is either going to be an external content type or an external list. The external list basically is a manifestation of external data living somewhere out there that you're going to see through your browser or even through Microsoft Office, through Outlook, depending on the type of contact it is, that you see live data elsewhere. Now, through the external content type, you can also create external columns, or external lists, I'm sorry, you can create external columns to supplement in other lists and libraries, which will allow you to be able to complement that data with live information coming from LOB systems. I think one of the most fascinating features, however, is that when you're thinking about external data, you know, in any organizations, you will never find one place that has everything, right? So usually you create several different external content types. They represent an amalgam of, let's say, a customer may have maybe in a different line of business system in Salesforce.com. There may be something else in Solomon's and in Dynamics GP because that's ARAP. And there may be something else in elsewhere in your organization. What we want to be able to do is to surface all of that up, and we want a good picture. So you can certainly use BCS in that aspect to create external content types, which can be searched, and you can aggregate that information, and you can find it really easily without going into three different systems to get that done. Now, BCS allows you to connect to just about anything. When I mean anything, it is really anything. Out of the box, you have several different connectors that are available to you, SQL Server natively. You also have WCF, Windows Communication Foundations, that you can do as well, and .NET Assembly. In addition, there's been some new benefits that are provided to you in SharePoint 2013, where we now support OData.
Can we index Yammer?
And in a previous session before, the one that you can actually look up later, I think it's SBC 405, which Chris just recently done, he actually created a cool application where he indexed Yammer and returned search results through a Kinect device, which is really, really pretty cool. So if you want to look at what the overall picture of what BCS looks like, these are all of the, at the bottom layer, the bottommost layer, you have your LOB systems, the WCF, as I mentioned before, OData, which is new, and any RDMS system. You have your BDC runtime. Everything is stored inside your metadata repository where you have your external content type, and then you may have external list. On top of that, you can consume all of that information between your dev, your business intelligence, your collab, your search, and also through Microsoft Office apps. The design tools are extremely important to know as well. Since everything now is targeting the cloud, SharePoint Designer 2013 is a great tool to use to create external content types. If you're going to be doing things targeted to the cloud, it's one of the things that I use a lot. However, if you're doing OData, this has to be done in Visual Studio. But you're going to see a demo later on. It is real easy. Not one stitch of code will be used to be able to create that. As I mentioned before, there's now support for OData. And I think the next biggest addition that I liked when I saw it the first time was in-memory BCS. So when you think about there's two different ways that you can get external content types into an environment where you can get an external list, right? Certainly you can create your whether it's in Visual Studio or in SharePoint Designer, you come up with a BDCM file. You import that file into central administration, and then later on you go to your web application, you say new app, find that external content file, and then create an external list from that. In the model for SharePoint 2013, because now everything's using the app model, there's another way which we're leading into the in-memory BCS now. The way that operates, though, is because this is the app model and you can't get access to central administration, then a file is actually created for you. It is read in memory, and then you actually get your external list created for you on the app web. So there's a lot of good native support that's right there built into the bat for you. As I mentioned before, if you're doing the OData, if you're doing OData for BCS, you need to do it inside Visual Studio. What you see here is a screenshot that provides you a great template. So it's basically an app for SharePoint. And once you've done that and provide your URL for where you're going to be targeting, whether it's SharePoint Online or whether it's going to be on-premises, then the only other step that you have to do is come here, tell it add external content type for an external data source. It's going to ask you where's your OData source. And within the next three clicks, you're done, literally done. But I don't want to oversimplify it. Later on, when I do the demo, you're going to actually see how you would do this the proper way, because out of the bat, it's done through a pass-through authentication, which will never work in a real-world scenario if you're using SharePoint Online. So we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. And for app development, as I mentioned before, by default, the external list is created in app web. You have that BDCM file. You're actually going to see me open up this file today and show you some of the pieces of it, especially when you want to change the authentication scheme from what's passed through into secure store. The file is very easy to use. It's extremely portable. In fact, there's a lot of mechanisms in terms of how you can deploy this file out into the environment. Certainly, if you're coming from Visual Studio, you can just press that F5. You can deploy it. Even if with that available to you, I always encourage people to just download that XML file and import it if you're working in an on-premises system. Obviously, if you're doing this in an app, that is not available to you, because again, if you're doing this in the right way, and this is just me qualifying the right way, you should be using Secure Store to manage the security in your LOB systems as to connect to to allow people, or a set of people, to connect to your line of business systems, not allowing pass-through. So to be able to do that, you actually have to modify the external content file. So if you're going to do that, you might as well be doing everything for yourself manually. What does this mean for IT pros, right? So for IT pros, this won't show up in the BCS Service App page. If you're doing this as an app, as I mentioned before, the file that's created for you is actually stored in a document library that is not really visible to you. So you actually do have to search for it and use some PowerShell. You have to do PowerShell to get to it, don't you?
Yeah, PowerShell.
And you may need to do queries to find where things have been deployed.
And so, just add to that, the reason you'd want to think about this is if your users are downloading apps that have BCS entities in them that make calls somewhere, and the app doesn't work because of firewall issues or something else. Right. Or you got a supporter, or there's some kind of security, whatever they may be doing, it's good for you to be able to go in and say, has anybody gone and written something to deploy an app that has this nice in-memory model sitting there?
Right.
Now, when we say use Windows PowerShell, it's not like there's a commandlet that goes and says, hey, these are all the apps and all the app webs, right? You literally have to
dig deep through
the files collection to find them.
You have to iterate through all of them. So the next slide shows you basically a snapshot of what's available to you with on-premises versus SharePoint Online and within an app. I won't belabor this. The one thing I want to tell, because we're actually going to touch a little bit about search today, and I want to clarify a couple things with search. You notice how it says that your search on BCS data is available with SharePoint on-premises, and it has SharePoint Online with X, and it has within an app on X. Yet, if you were in my session yesterday, you'd have seen me actually have external data searched through SharePoint. Somebody from SharePoint Online was able to see external data. So just to make sure that there's no misunderstanding there, what I did was I set up a hybrid situation where I did a one-way inbound hybrid, which allowed on-premises external data to be served up through a federated user in SharePoint Online. So Out of the box, no, but if you're doing a hybrid scenario, you can certainly find external data that's on-premises through a federated user online.
And if you missed that session, I highly recommend you go back, look at the video of his session. It was pretty amazing.
Is this me too? This is me too, right?
It's you.
All right. So I am a huge proponent of OData, not only for the purposes of SharePoint, of doing BCS, but in fact, I have a session tomorrow that is going to be all about OData, and just to pimp that session a little bit. If you have OData, there's just so much applications for it. It's going to return back JSON, which is a lightweight protocol. You can certainly manage it through queries, so you can filter things down. You can return only the top of this. You can do select statements just to pull certain columns in there. And by doing that, you're going to have a lower payload. Why is this important? Because as you're starting to build things for the app and you have multi-form factors, you want as light a payload as possible. By having the REST protocol involved in it as well, you can do full CRUD, or CRUD queue actually, create, read, update, delete, and query through these HTTP verbs, which makes it a lot easier for you to get business done.
So yeah, Fabian, you know, doesn't like this slide too much because this CBS Sports endpoint, I went and automated all the trades and everything. So basically I got all the guys I wanted before they did.
Yes, he did. I'm not a very popular person when he did that. So you will also find out, I would encourage you, to come to my session tomorrow, right? So it's a couple of things that you see here in the second bullet point. It talks about some of those endpoints. When you're working with OData and you're working with REST, certainly you'll see examples out there where, the typical one is someone comes up and create a WebCF service library, and then they create, they use Entity Framework, and they connect to a database, and then you put your little the entity's name inside there, and then you do asterisk and say read all write, and then you have everything. That's certainly there, but if you're doing this again, and I like to make sure that I'm just talking about demoware, stuff that you come here and you see here and you can never use in the office. I always encourage people to create yourself some endpoints, by creating service operations that really lock stuff down, so unless people know what those service operations are, they can't get to it. Some of these endpoints here are talking about the way you have the stats, the add drop. Those are service endpoints that you have on your OData URI feed. And as I mentioned before, you can pass parameters through the query string. Getting back into it, you can certainly use queries, as I mentioned before, top, skip, filter, order by, and count to lower that payload. Anyone here not know what Fiddler is?
Right. I don't know.
I'm sorry? You don't know? All right. Listen, Fiddler made by, you want to get it, because if you're working with OData and you need to troubleshoot some stuff, it is the one tool that will allow you to see everything going on. And as I talk about stuff, I usually tell people, look at this payload. Look at when I put this OData URI inside here. Look at what comes back in terms of the bytes. Look when I change it and put, filter, or I do, a select statement. Look how it drops down, because I only get what I need. Now, granted, we're talking about BCS here. But, with OData, if you ever looked into Excel and look into Power View, natively, right out of the box, it's asking you for OData URI. So this can be used inside an Office app as well. And, again, you want to manage size because space is important. SharePoint also has a set of endpoints, right? And what you usually have under the _VTI_bin is now replaced by the alias_API. And you can get a slew of endpoints that are available to you for lots of service application that you can either do read-only or read-write. Definitely you can manage your list, your library, your webs as well. You can create your own webs. So all of these endpoints are out there for you as well. And there's a link there at the bottom of the slide that shows you where you can get those specifications to teach you how to do that.
So this link here, this SPREST.architect-connect-systems, that is a tool that I am currently working on. It's in alpha. How many of you have seen this tool? Oh, I know Martin's seen it. A couple of you? Yeah.
Right.
It allows you to drill down and drill up through the entire REST, every available REST endpoint that's in SharePoint. So you can go and navigate. You can go find the classes and any methods that are supported by REST in this tool. After we're done and I go home and I get some relaxation from having three sessions, there's a SharePoint hosted app that I'm going to push out that you'll be able to install in your on-prem or in O365. It will generate the real live path all the way through. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, pretty sweet stuff. I've seen it. All data models are supported in O365, as I mentioned before. It allows you to expose and use your corporate data in Office 365. That was my session yesterday. I think it was, it's 319, right? SPC 319, so take a look at that. It does talk about hybrid and how you can do that. And in terms of OData feed authentication, you know, I am a huge fan of using the technologies and the tools that are available to you. So with the concept of ASP1, you know, there's templates available to you that you can use the web API, and you can definitely use MVC to be able to create these OData sources. People usually ask me which one I'd use over the other. I've said to people, all you're concerned with is just exposing data and there's no UI, go the web API route. There's need to be some interface, MVC, certainly. And built into the product, and you'll see this later on. Let's see if it's the next slide.
I'm actually curious. How many of you... Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Right, the next slide right here. No,
I was going to ask, how many of you actually use web API?
Okay.
All right, so those of you who've seen it, it's right. Pretty awesome.
So if you're using, these are all of the templates. If you do, the new ASP1 templates on the Visual Studio allows you to create these templates right off the bat. You'll notice that on the right-hand side, it says authentication. Some of them have no authentication. Some of them have individual user authentication. There's organization authentication as well. This is all built in and bolted on for you. All you have to do is uncomment out some line of code, put in your secret and your API key, and you're off to the races. And actually decorate your class with an authorized term to be able to protect your information. And the rest is just you creating your controls to be able to go get what you need. Your authentication is, as I mentioned before, you tell it individual, organization, or Windows auth. So this is all built in for you. All this tooling is available already for you. So OData can be used to expose your internal data, as I mentioned before. It's quite easy. You can certainly protect it. Always, you know, when exposing your sensitive information, as in my hybrid session yesterday, make sure you put it under SSL. Make sure it's encrypted end-to-end. You know, in the hybrid situation, we're using wildcard certs to expose our internal OData URI, and then we're using assert on the Office 365 SharePoint Online as well to be able to get back on the inside. Okay. And I think I go to you now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Fabian just kind of did this overview, BCS, and he's OData. Okay. OData is one of those future things that you better know about and utilize. So now the question is, well, how does that apply to apps, and how does this apply to the whole notification aspect of things? So this is where we're going to get into the external list subscriptions and alerts. So when we look at the subscriptions, through the past products, you've had this ability on-prem to write some event receivers. And so the 2003, you only had one ability, and that was RecycleBin, right? So I actually worked at AvePoint at the time, and AvePoint was the first one to write in a RecycleBin event receiver for SharePoint. That was really cool, you know, back then. But that's it. That's all you got. You just got one, right? So then 2007 comes along, and then they gave us a whole bunch more event receivers. Okay, but only they only executed on your local list, right? There was nothing about external lists or anything. So 2010 comes along, and we have there were more event receivers added, but there was no support for external item, external data that may be surfaced through OData, right? So if that data changed, SharePoint had no idea about it, right? There's nothing you can do, no code you can wrap around it. So here we are in 2013, now we can actually have these events execute and fire based on remote event receiver or external lists. Now what does that mean? Well, it means that the BDC model was extended so that it had two more types of methods in it now. So there's a subscribe method and an unsubscribe method. Scott Hillier, very bright, wonderful MVP in the community, did this. He built this, but it was for database, right? So there's code out there. He built it and did it. But when we said the intro slides, it's like, well, who did it for OData? Nobody did it for OData until I went and was like pounded on it, right?
Until I tried and then failed and said, this thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
And try to send emails to people who didn't respond, and Chris said, I'll take over.
I'll take over, yeah. So these, like I said, these are in addition to all the other methods that were already there, the CRUD methods that are part of BCS. So these are two new ones that we can actually add in. And when we look at them, when we say we want to subscribe, it's an alert. I want to set up an alert on our external list and get email when the data changes. Okay? So when we look at the subscribe method, it says, is the delivery address, is it event type? What's going to happen when I make a subscription, I'm calling out to somewhere saying, hey, I want to know about any changes, and I have to pass it an address that I have to send this packet to, this message to, and so as part of that, the delivery address is that URL, okay, and it's actually a CSOM endpoint that we're going to see. I'm going to do a demo of this whole thing. When it comes to the unsubscribe, when you make that call out, what's going to happen is you have to generate your own subscription ID on your host side. And then whenever the unsubscribe, you pass that ID, and the unsubscription will pass the ID you generated. So you say, okay, I want to delete this. I don't want to use it anymore. So then when we start talking about database, all of you have done BDC model databases over and over, times thousands of times, so nothing new there. But now we have BCS and apps and support for OData in BCS. So then the question was, well, how do we get the actual message and everything, communication working between these environments using OData? Okay, and it's not very easy. But we put all this code out there for you so it actually will help you. When you go and you generate a model, because this stuff is really new, if you do an app, and Fabian's going to do a demo of creating the external content type using an OData, those methods aren't going to be there. Right? There's no Visual Studio support that sits there and goes, hey, let's add this subscription, unsubscription method. You got to do it. You got to go open the ECT file, and you got to go add it, and you need to go modify things, right?
And if I can just to go back to the original point again, just drilling this home. For so much of the things that you have to do, and one more thing is actually, if you want search to work, you actually have to put in a parameter as well, for a property for search to work. There's so many times that you're going to have to go back into this ECT. I always tell people, take this ECT out, put it in whatever ALM system that you have, and start managing it that way rather than just fast deploying it.
Yeah, so this whole process of SharePoint sending out a message that says, I want you to create a subscription for me, is really, really tricky. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. Fabian brought up Web API. Well, before I was generating the WCF data service, right? It gives you very little flexibility on what you can do in the chain of the HTTP that's happening. And one of the things it doesn't let you do, and I'll show you in the code, is it doesn't actually let you look at the request. Because when it comes in, it's streaming it. And if it makes that one little call, you can't see the body. You can't see anything about the request, which you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. If you go do Web API, that gives you all kinds of control over what's occurring when this comes in. So that's why I say, if you haven't looked at Web API and used it, it's really, really cool. Now, there was a lot of things that are involved in here, and I'm going to show you the actual items. Now, the subscription process itself, you make the call out to your data service, and it records and says, okay, yep, every time something changes, I need to tell SharePoint. All right? So SharePoint, though, needs to also have some record on its side, and that's called the subscription list. It's a hidden list that isn't there by default on a team side or anything else. Right? It actually has to be created via a feature. Right? And you probably go through and look at the features page, and you're like, what is this? I don't even know what that is, right? I know when I looked at it first, I was like, I don't know what that is. But this list keeps track of all of that particular information about where it's supposed to go, what it's supposed to do. So then when we say creating subscriptions, three ways to do this. Well, three main ways. I could go and say server object model and say, okay, go create a subscription. I could use client side and do it that way. That's totally supported. I can use JSON to do it. Or if you're not a developer type, right, and someone's already got everything set up, this process also could be fired off by creating an alert on a list. And so that will kick off the subscription process, and that will actually cause a notification to go back. Or you can create an event receiver on the external list, and that creates a subscription as well. Right? So a lot of ways to do this. One of the things I was a little confused about when I first looked at it is that I thought I had to call using client-side, but that's not the case. So there are some things that occur. If I try to create a subscription and SharePoint makes a call out to your service and you respond back, your service, however you did it, your OData responds back with like a 200, yet there was an error inside there somewhere. It thinks the subscription has been created. It thinks that everything has occurred, and maybe it didn't, right? And this took me a little while. And this goes back to if you were using the WCF data service. Mm-hmm. It will actually, if it errors, you know, you have a try catch in there, it's going to respond back to SharePoint, and SharePoint's going to be like, I reversed that out. Your code may execute completely. Your data, you record it in the database, and again, I'm going to show you a demo of this. You record it, and you say, yay, I have a subscription endpoint to send messages to. But in the that WCF data, if anything happens on the response going back out, that's an exception. SharePoint will see a 400 error or whatever, and you recorded it, but SharePoint doesn't record it, right? So I had that happen quite a few times, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's going on here? It's very painful. So if you are successful and you get everything out, there's only three types of event receivers that are supported, okay? There really is this no notion of sitting there saying, I want to cancel an adding event in a database that's sitting somewhere halfway across the world, right? That's probably a little too much to ask there, sorry. But you can have the post events, right? Someone added something, someone updated something, someone deleted something. And you'll see I put the numbers there, so it's number one, number two, number three. You'll see when I do the demo that you're going to pass, or SharePoint's going to pass to you what the user is requesting, right? So if I create the alert and I say, notify me of all changes, I'm actually going to get three requests fired to my external system. One for adds, one's for deletes, one's for modifies. And again, you can't cancel things, right? It's just not going to work. Now, there's two message types of which, well, SharePoint's just going to send you something, and it's always going to look the same, right? But when you send it back to SharePoint, you're free to do whatever you want, okay? By default, there's two parsers that SharePoint supports when the message comes back. The first one is an identity parser. And the identity parser looks for a feed when it comes to OData. And so it's going to look for a very specific path. And so you can see that's the X path there. The feed, entry, content, properties, BCS, item, identity. That's all it's looking for. That's all it's going to care about, okay, is that path. If you go over to the OData entry content notification parser, it's going to look for that XPath in your message, and any data that's inside, anything else that's wrapped around it is completely ignored, right? And then there has to be a very specific format, OData format, that comes back. That being said, one of the things they don't talk about that much in any of the documentation is you can make your own notification parser and extend. Now, this is only going to work because if you're on-prem, right? You have to deploy this thing to on-prem. You're not allowed to deploy code to O365. But that basically means I'm not a fan of XML anymore. I love everything to be JSON. Therefore, I think it would be more beneficial if you had your response going back was JSON. So that's that. And I think I'm just going to... Oh, there is one thing. When you make the call back to SharePoint, and if you're doing an event receiver, you're not really going to get any type of errors in your event receiver until you go to negotiate the notification message property. So that's a new property in the event receivers. All right. Obviously, if it's not coming from an external place, that's always going to be null. But if it does come from an external system, then that will have data in it. Basically, it's the response that you, or the request that you sent with all your payload. If that payload is not correctly formatted based on the last slide of one of those two parsers, your event receiver will fail the moment you try to interrogate that. Right, because there's a whole bunch of code in the property. It's not like just pointer to string. It's like a whole set of stuff in there. So you have to be cognizant of that. So why is that important for IT pros and devs alike? Well, if the system is not up, i.e. your SharePoint, then the external system is going to sit there and fire you a message, and SharePoint's not going to get it.
How do you handle that?
How do you handle that? If your developers are thinking of writing this and using this model, and you have a 3.9s environment or anything less than that, service packs.
Let me think. It's going to be a
challenge. It's going to be really difficult, especially if that target system is changing and changing and changing and firing those events. You're going to lose events, right? So how do you fix that? Well, there's lots of ways to fix that development pattern. Queues, right? You fire the queues, but that also means that you got to make sure everything's there, everything's going to flow properly. So if you decide to use the remote event receiver, and it's just like anything else that's remote, that's outside of SharePoint, you have to make sure the system's up. When we look at O365, that's up, right? Pretty much guarantee it's going to be there a lot of the time. So then there's the thing of, okay, you've set up this subscription, right? You've done all this work, and now you have to send the message back to SharePoint. Well, if you're inside your network, well, it's a web call, HTTP method, right? A call. You just pass your network credentials of whatever the service is, or the console app, whatever it is. It just passes it. As long as they have access, the message goes. It picks it up. Yay. What do you do with O365? You have to log on in your app and get the RT token and the RTFA token and the FedAuth token, and that has to be passed in the message going back. Otherwise, it's not going to get the notification. It's going to fail with 404 error, right? Or auth error. So it's a little more complicated. How many of you have actually wrote code that auths to O365? A few of you. Well, it's not exactly easy, right? You got to go hit the live ID endpoints. You got to flow that T value that you have to pass back. All right, it's a little complicated. So here's kind of the flow of it. All right, I got to go to some point in my O365. So this authentication authenticate.spx. It's going to do a redirect. You're going to get a redirection to login.microsoft.com/login.srf. You're going to get an MSPOK value. You got to take that and you got to send it off and post it to the post.srf. That gives you back a T value that I was just talking about. And then you post that back to where you want it to go, and then you get your RTFA and your FedAuth cookie. Once you have that, you can make whatever API calls you want to O365 you want. Okay? Fairly easy. And I have all the code. It's all here. We're going to do it. The demo is actually going to be, I'm going to set up a remote event receivers notification subscriptions in O365 to a ACS endpoint with OData. Okay, so that's what the demo is going to be. Which means it's demo time. So Fabian's going to set some things up for us so that I don't have to explain a lot of things that
which
I'm
demo
doing.
Is this again?
And this is going to be creating the external console type using OData.
Okay. All right, let me jump over to number 8. All right. So In this demo scenario, it goes hand in hand with what I've been talking about before. I have an external system. Now, what's interesting about this is that I have an on-premises, SharePoint environment, and I'm trying to get data from somewhere on the inside. In this example, I'm actually getting information that's coming from SQL Azure. So I just wanted to mix it up a little bit. It doesn't mean that you couldn't be doing it that way. I just wanted to show you that it doesn't really matter where data is coming from. You can pull it in as long as it's a valid OData feed that you have access to. So I'm also doing this as well using the web API, as I mentioned before. So we have the endpoint here, and we're using the ASP.NET using web API. And I have it pulled inside here in Fiddler because if in IE, it'll just try to save that JSON value. So just to move things ahead, I'm just going to go ahead and open up Visual Studio 2013. I'm going to do a new project. I'm going to do an app for SharePoint. I'm going to call it SPC, what's this session again? 319? This is 319, that's again.
And then close.
It's close enough for government work. And I am going to target, this is going to be on my on-premises system, and it's going to be SharePoint hosted. So I'm going to go ahead and click finish. It's going to spin up my my project for me and open up my defaulted ASPX page, which I'm immediately going to close. And as I mentioned before, it's quite easy. No code written yet, right? Yeah, this is a dev session. I've been doing mainly IT pro sessions, so I had to qualify for a couple days. No code, because all I'm doing is IT pro. So I forgot I can actually not say that this time. So again, this is the screenshot you saw before. I click on this right here. What it's expecting to find, as it mentions before here, OData service. So nothing else is supported, right? It must be a valid OData feed. So I come inside here. I'm going to go and grab the one from the cloud, which is this guy here. Northwind Azure odata.cloudapp.net/odata, and I'm going to give it a good name, just ABC123. Of course, you'd be giving it a better name. I'm going to do next. It's going to go outside and make that call, and it comes back and shows me all of the entities that are available to me. So when I created my OData feed, these are all the entities that I said I want available to me. Now, these could be just regular tables, or it could be, as I mentioned before, service operations, which is basically just going to have a method name. And it does the work for me, so it would abstract it. I'm going to go ahead and select two of these guys right here. Something I want you to take away from here, if you look at the bottom, right off the bat, it's actually telling you, create and list instance for the selected data entity. So it's actually going to create the external list for you. So when I click finish, you'll notice on the right-hand side, I now have a customers list and I have an employees list. What you also have is this external content type right here. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and double-click on it real quickly. And what I spoke about earlier before, which I'm going to leave in place right now because this is on-premises, is by default, your ECT is set up to run as pass-through. However, as I said, if you're doing this in production, I would highly encourage Secure Store. So you basically would have to come inside here and give it a settings ID. You would have to run another PowerShell file to bind your OData endpoint to your BCS Secure Store ID. Change these from pass through to credentials, all right? And you would basically be providing the SSO implementation, which is that long assembly name that you have to do for Secure Store. We're not going to do that. Let's go ahead and take a look, however, at the external content type. So I'm going to, let me close this out first so it doesn't tell me it's already open. Right click on this guy, say open with, and I'm going to open with the XML editor with the encoding and say okay. This is basically the ECT that you provide, right? And as you can see right here, it has your customer entity, and it would have it has all of those methods created for you for create, read specific. This is your read item. This is your read list. This is your update. This is your delete. As Chris mentioned, the other two methods are not here. You're going to have to put that in yourself. If I was going to be doing this with Secure Store, once I populated those parameters, it would have come inside here as well. So let's go ahead. You know, live is always, I didn't test this before doing this. So let's go ahead and write. Actually, no. Before you do that, you need to come down here under your app manifest. And I'm going to change this from default.aspx to lists, lists/customers. And one more thing to point out, if you're making calls outside of BCS to call anywhere else, you need to come inside here under the permissions and allow permissions and change it to BDC and tell it that you need to read permissions. But we're not doing that, but I'll cover that tomorrow in more detail. So once I've done that, I'm going to go right-click here, say deploy. Here's my output window. Uh-oh, that's not good. What's that? Oh, yeah, right, exactly. I should have been targeting a... Let's do this. Let me come right here and change this real quickly to... is this site up still? That site's dead. Is not. Let's put it on Racka Hybrid. I wonder if it'll work with rackahybrid.com. All right, so let me go... and go to ADFS...
Visual Studio is doing all that magical work that you have to do programmatically
and,
for you.
Well, let me think. Everything. I'm trying to remember my password. Stop. Quiet. It is I can't remember my password real quickly.
That's okay. Yeah. We can switch over.
We'll switch over to yeah, you can do it. Yeah, so you're going to do that in the end. All right, so basically you create your external context. I will get it done while he's doing this. Let me flip back over to, what number are you?
Seven.
And I'm going to go get my password so you don't see it. And it works.
I put mine in regions that are hidden there.
I know.
All right, so we switch over to mine. Everything he showed you, I've already done, right? I've already did all this. I'm actually pointing. You'll see here, this is an OData, just like he had done. I'm pointing to an endpoint that I've already pre-created that's sitting on a public ACS site. So it's my lovely friend Northwind. Yay. I won't let it die. I couldn't move to AdventureWorks. So we have this. We'll see that there's the, as Fabian was pointing out, it generates a lot of these things like pass-through sitting there. What's the OData version? That 2.0 is the I must have OData equals verbose. Yay. Right? We moved to 3.0. You don't need that anymore. But what we have is, if I scroll down, kind of skip the whole add, modify, delete stuff, we have a new method in here that I've created called subscribe customer. And so what that's going to do, it needs to have a URL off of the main data URL, OData URL that I had up on the top. So it's slash subscribe. Now, when we talk about how did I eventually get this working? Well, you're going to find in most of the documentation all of the parameters that get passed to your service method are in the original documentation. It shows up as showing as in the body, getting posted to the body. I could never get it to work. So what I did is I said, all right, let's pass it in the query string. Your service will pick it up, populates your values, and you're good. I got it working. Yay. Now you'll see that just like in SQL Server, this is a parameter name. And it's one of the BCS parameters that is sitting down here a little bit later. Now, I'm doing everything as a get. You know, I'm not posting anything in the body. Like I said, I can never get that one to work. This is going to be property. And then here's where we're saying, hey, the target we're going to is, of course, V2 of OData. So we have the OData with verbose. If you look at any of the documentation on MSDN, it actually shows you some weird XML, right? That doesn't work with everything they have posted on there. So you have to switch it over to here. If we scroll down a little ways, we will see that here are the parameters that we've, or the properties we've created. There's the delivery URL. Here's where it has the property. This basically is saying that property is the delivery address. So populate that with the endpoint that I have to respond to from the external system. If we keep going down, we'll see here's the is event type. It is set to true. Therefore, that's going to be that number 1, 2, or 3 that's going to get passed back. And then if I wanted to, just like anything else in BDC, I could sit there and say, all right, well, I can kind of populate with random type of values. In this case, you know, I just say, oh, well, there's the entity name is customers, and the columns that I want it to return back to me that tell me that if someone changed something, tell me what these things that they changed, those are the only columns we want. This really has no meaning. It'll get passed to your app. You have to implement it on the other side, right? So it has no real meaning. And so there is also a unsubscribe, and all it's going to do is pass the ID that gets created in that hidden list in your web, right? And it passes that ID, and then you're supposed to delete the subscription that was created on the other side. So that's great. It's all done. It's there. It's working. What we're going to do, I got my O365 up here. I'm going to go over, and I'm going to browse. And I'm going to select that one that we were just looking at, and say open. I'll scroll down and say import. And so this is going to import it, just like you've seen this probably 1,000 times. It's going to bring that in there, just making sure you don't think there's anything fluffy going on behind the scenes here. So that's going to get put in there. Now, why am I doing it this way versus the apps? Well, I could have done it in the app, and I could have pushed the app out. But the problem is that the external content type gets created on the app web. Then I got to go find it. Then I got to go navigate, and I got to do it. And then I wait. It's just a waste of time. So you can still do it. It still works. I just decided to take the path of least resistance. So now that we have that there, I'm going to switch over to the site, and I'm going to create an external list. Go down, external list. And we're going to see, because it's in BCS, we'll actually see it in this picker. And so there we go, customers. We hit OK. And just like every, you've seen this demo 100 times, I'm sure. It's going to create our external list for us. And of course, if we go to it, it's going to look like anything else. All right. We're going to see our customers show up. Yay. All right. All through OData. All right. Now, the interesting part is, let's create an alert on this list. How many of you have actually done this? Yeah. It better be zero.
Yeah.
So what it'll do here, you go over to list, and you say, all right, I want to alert me. And sure enough, it's active. It's there. It's active. You can do it. Now, unfortunately, it's hard for me to, since I had to prep and do all this, if I was to click on that, it's actually going to work. But what I ideally wanted to happen was it to fail. How about that? I want something to fail in the demo.
Yeah.
Ooh. So I move over to site actions, and we're going to see there's this feature in there. And you probably, like I said, you've seen it sitting there, but you're like, what is that? If you don't have this activated, the external system events, your subscription list isn't created. Therefore, you can't create an alert. All right? Now, because I did this through the BCS and I'm putting it here, I activate this, it's great, it's showing up. But if you go and deploy to the app web, okay, yeah, you gotta go and put your URL to get to the settings to go turn it on, or as part of the app in the JSON that you have on there, you say, okay, activate this feature. And then it gets created in the app web where the external list will be running and it would all go there. But like I said, let's short circuit that so that this actually runs a lot faster and better. So great. You click that, it creates the list. So what we're going to do is go back to customers, and we're going to go ahead and create that alert. We see that everything's in there. I want all the changes. So that's ads, that's updates, that's deletes. It's going to get sent to my Outlook account that's sitting on my O365. So we hit OK. Actually, what I should have done is shown you the database server first. Well, there it is. It's empty.
Right.
But if I execute this again, it just made a call to my database server sitting behind my firewall.
And they can tell by the timestamp anyways right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah. If they had. Yeah.
Okay.
Close. So this is my delivery address. This is where I have to post back. And that's passing me a subscription ID that's in that list that's hidden. Okay, so what I'll do, we want to test this, right? We want to say, hey, someone just added a customer, right? And fire it back over there. So what I do, I have a little Visual Studio project that allows me to test this stuff. And we're going to jump back over here. So I have in this solution, and this is all available to you in the code that we posted. What I have here is a nice little testing tool, and I've done a lot of work automating a lot of things and doing auth for apps and all kinds of other things. I think it's really easy, by the way. You just got to work harder. But when you look at this, I have this object called SharePoint System. It could be anything. I have a nice little call that I say, set my context. It basically logs me in no matter what it is, whether it's Forms Auth, whether it's O365, whether it's Windows Auth. All I got, it's beautiful. It's lovely. I'm probably not going to publish it, but think about it.
It can be done.
Think about it. Yes, yeah. It can be done. So what I have here is I have this O365 instance where I just did all that stuff, right? And so my context is going to get set such that it's my O365, which means it's going to log me in using my username and password. But then I need the URL, so I just copied it from the database that was sent over. So I'm going to put this new one in here. We'll do a little recompile. What you're going to see here is I've created this hash table where I want all the properties of that particular object to be put in there, and it's going to generate the payload that's going to go back that would tell it what has changed. So what I'm going to do, I say, okay, whatever the URL is, the ID of the thing that's changing, and then I pass this the hash table. If we look down a little bit farther, I'm generating the XML version of it because I didn't want to go write. This is O365, so I can't write a custom parser, so it's not JSON. Sorry. One of the things that I found really interesting, the place where I'm actually going is called sites/dev. But I have to get the digest from there for some odd reason. You want to know why? If you look at the endpoint, even though the subscription itself is generated at a lower web, look at the delivery address I got sent back. That's where the digest has to come from. If I try to get the digest from the actual host web, app web, it ain't going to work. It's going to fail, right? So I thought that was interesting, right? It's just those little quirks that you'll see with O365. So we'll jump back over. I'm going to set everything properly. I've got so much code that does a lot of neat stuff. So what this is just going to post this message back. I'm going to go ahead and fire up Fiddler. I should have Fiddler open for you to see the traffic come across, but that's all right. Fire up Fiddler, we're going to watch this whole thing occur when I send the message. Make sure my, yep, so I'm just going to execute. It's going to do my logon. All those steps that I said with O365, it's all built into my little context code there. And it's going to get those RT tokens. So here, if you look at this, it went to the authenticate page. It went over to forms default. It did the logon Microsoft.com. It got me my cookies I needed. I got my digests. And then I made the call back using that endpoint. So if we look at the raw, we'll see it's an XML, and you get back, luckily, success. All right. So what that means is I now just sent over, like, as if that list item had changed in SharePoint, all the things I subscribed, alerts, event handlers, would all execute at that point. Pretty sweet, right? You can clap. So the icing on the cake, does it really work? Did I get any alerts or anything?
Let's check email.
There's my O365 email. So sure enough, I've gone and created an alert on the external list. There it is. It's all of them, right? So I subscribe to all of them. Now, I'm not seeing yet the notification change yet. And I've found for some odd reason, it's not instantaneous. It seems like it's in a timer job. Is what it seems like it's doing. So it's probably going to take it anywhere up to 15 minutes for this to show up. So I'm going to maybe hand it back over to Fabian. Mm-hmm. And when I see it pop up, I'll just switch back over and you'll see the actual message get generated.
So just real short and sweet. I mentioned before, you know, the idea behind search. I mentioned that, you know, you can, ODN models can be used to index in search. It requires attributes. Before I said you need to open up your ECT and do show in search URL is equal to true, method instance root finder. And currently you can only index on-premises BCS, right? There's no method to create a BCS context source in O365, which is true. As I mentioned, my search before, even though it was using O365, was actually a hybrid scenario looking in the on-premises environment. Oh, where's that clicker? So the summary, you know, BCS has many, many, many new improvements. OData and app support is definitely one of them. You know, it gives you a lot of new tools inside your bag. Subscription and notification does work, as you've seen Chris just you know, illustrated. There are some nuances to it. Chris does have his blog site up, which we're going to get back to. And Chris is extremely generous in terms of what he said. There were some guidances out there, but the guidances, one, was lacking. It mentioned things that was not there, and then the things that were there were wrong. So if you're trying to follow it and didn't work, it wasn't your fault. It was just, you know, it was just lacking. Chris spent a lot of time, you know, we've gone to a couple of link sessions where, you know, we were looking in the database to see what's going on, and eventually got it working. The external system must support sending notification back to SharePoint because it, you know, SharePoint is apart from the external system. So the external system has to say something changed. Here's what changed, so that subscription notification can happen. That ID can, you know, can be flagged and let you know what's going on. As Chris mentioned, the format is extremely specific. If it doesn't see that format, it is going to fail. And depending on how it fails, you may not get the right notification that you need, and it just abands out. So, and then shorter subscription gets created inside that list. And in order for it to get created inside that list, that feature had to be turned on before.
So if you want to switch over real quick, the email hasn't come in yet, but I realized when I cleared out everything to do this test, the deleted items, I still had it. So yay for deleted recycle bin in exchange, right? Mm-hmm. So here is the email that came back. Mm-hmm. All right. Items and customers has been added, right? So if it's an add, it has to go do the post to the endpoint to get the data so it can populate this email message that it just sent, right? Pretty awesome. But remember, doing this with great power comes great responsibility, right? Quote the old Superman thing.
Yep.
If anything's down in the whole process, in the communication, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to be real careful with that.
Right. I switch back over. We have like 10 minutes left.
All right. So there's some related sessions that you could go to, or at this point, you know, I think a lot of those are kind of done already, so
yeah,
you can go back to videos.
Except for the second one. The second one I'm doing tomorrow.
And that one's tomorrow,
yeah.
So you'll learn a little bit more.
At 10:30.
In terms of contact info, you know, we're on Twitter. We have our email addresses and everything, but we do have an amazing amount of goodies to give out. So those of you that decided to stay for this long time, mm-hmm. I got 4 books. I got a whole bunch of shirts, and they're like the developer shirts that they gave us. They didn't give it for my other sessions, but they gave it for this one. So we got a whole bunch of these. So I think what we'll do is the questions will decide whether you're going to get a shirt or a book. Mm-hmm. So if you can ask a really good question, I'll give you this. We got Shannon Bray's architecture book. This thing's awesome. I was the tech editor for it, so it's all validated. It's all really good. I wasn't the tech editor for this. I wrote this, a lot of these chapters in here, so I don't know if it's right or not. I'm kidding. But I have 3 of these books. So those of you, we got lots of stuff, so ask us lots of questions. So, and we have the mic there if it's still
working.
Yeah,
please go to the mic so it can be recorded. So you guys are ready to go out and do this then, the fact that there's no questions. You guys are all sorted out.
No, we got a couple.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. They want a book.
That's what it is.
Our book. Yeah. So you talked about it. If it's 1 = 1, I'm not.
Yeah.
All
right.
Go ahead.
So you talked about Huey, and if there's any of those problems, that's sort of concerning, you know, to implement this in an enterprise environment and have these issues. Have you tried the Huey and proved that working and keeping things cleaned up across
I haven't gone to build all the demos. I've done queuing many, many times, right? So I know it would work just from past experience. Is it going to be a lot of work? Absolutely.
It's going to be a lot to track.
Absolutely.
It is something that we could talk about. You know, I am in communications with some of the owners of the BCS codes right there, so I am talking to them about some of those items, and as soon as I know, Chris and I will be writing a blog about it.
I know that there are a couple of teams that use queuing in terms of, like, messaging. But not necessarily with this, but in terms of some REST messaging type of things. They have some customers. I don't know if I'm supposed to say their name or not, but, yeah.
Yeah. But right. As soon as we know this meal, make sure to follow up us on the blog, and, you know, you'll get that information.
All right. Go ahead. Yeah, your question is workflows, picking up
list.
On the event changes in an external list. I couldn't.
Oh, no.
I remember trying to do it, and I didn't think I got it working. I'm going to go towards the lean on the side of
Yeah, let's be more cautious. I don't think we tested that.
I know. I didn't do it with any of this. I tried to play with it in 2013, and I don't remember getting it to work.
There was a session earlier today about combining workflows with associations.
That's okay. Possible too. Yeah, that's possible. I haven't gone in and delve into it. That's a good
question.
That's
definitely worth a book.
Yeah, that's worth a book. Yeah. Thanks.
I'm sorry? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So the easiest, but probably not the best answer for me to give you is to say that you want to use all of the features that are available to you inside OData. So with version 3, it does support the paging and sorting. So if you created your own service operations, you can manage that experience. In fact, I'm going to have a OData URI that's going to show you several different options that are available for paging, for limit sizing, for counts. It's going to have all of that there for you. So I did that because it's demoware and it's easy to do, but that's definitely an answer. But, depending on your situation in terms of how you want to manage that user experience, it may be what you want. It may not be what you want. But certainly use what's available to you. And, in fact, the version number, it's in V3 now, but depending on what you want to do as well, you can manage that version number to get different experiences to take away or to subtract capabilities within the old data.
Yeah, that's worth it.
Hey, buddy.
Hey. There you go. So, you're welcome.
I work in a very interesting space, and I'm trying to merge SharePoint with FileMaker Pro.
That is an interesting space. All right. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, I need this searchable, I need this, indexable, I need pretty much every single feature without remodeling the database.
Without remodeling.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to do is, and I'm loving OData.
I'm
thinking it's most likely the way.
Yeah, it's exactly the way.
And I'm like, okay, well, how do I get this with ECS as well?
Oh, man, let me see if I can pull up that project real quickly.
Say custom connector?
No, we could say that. Go ahead and talk about that before I get to
that. I was thinking the custom connection as well, but then I would have to put in an ODBC driver onto the SharePoint
module. Oh.
And I was trying to avoid that. I was like, oh. So.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. You know what? You'd probably go OData and stick it on one app server. Not on SharePoint app server, but your own app server and surface that up. You wouldn't. The last slide had the things. You'd have to go edit the actual ECT file, right, and add those properties, the search properties. And we had a slide on it. It's in the slides, the properties you have to add. But one of the things I was trying to do was, and I succeeded on-prem, is to do search push. So I can push anything into the on-prem database. Or on-prem search index, and it shows up. But you can't do it on O365, right, because they won't let you deploy those types of things.
So here's an example I'm actually going to cover tomorrow. I actually went out to, it's a RESTful endpoint, but it's not OData. It's a Freeweather Online. And the format of the data is as such where they have nested nodes inside of the payload. And it has, with OData, you're going to need to have at least a key so it can know how to count, it knows how to index. And there's also a couple of things that it needed. So what I did was actually wrote a wrapper for it, and then to basically get that data into a format that is compliant for OData. So I will be covering that tomorrow. This is actually the example I did for it, and I got it to work. This is one of the ways, though, that I talked about. I had to create a service operation for that. So it's not going to be out of the box because you don't want to target it yourself. So I created a service operation that did all of this. It got information, it serialized it, and spit it out back in OData, added my counter inside there, looping through the iteration, and gave me back what I needed. So that would be the answer I would go with.
That's worth a...
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
It's worth a book.
Good. Where are we at now? I think we have like 2 more minutes, and then we're officially...
I got lots of stuff. I got one more book.
I don't know if it's simple, but I can imagine this VCS as a modeling layer on top of existing data, right? And it's not easy to design these files. But we've been looking at very powerful stuff with M language, with Power Query. So when will we be able to expose something that was modeled on Excel Power Query as a VCS definition?
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is
that's a very interesting question.
That's a P KPMG, go ask them if they want to do marketing to make engineering build it.
Yeah, I don't have an immediate answer for that.
You're thinking more terms in terms of Power Pivot too, right? Tabular data sources and trying to pull those in. And you know, again, it goes back to a custom connector. If you wanted to build it, you could absolutely build those APIs that would make the call to pull the data. Yeah, I would more go to the whole Power BI, right? Obviously, it's all O365, but there's a lot of things in 2013 of support. You know, our reporting services supporting that type of deal. When you say there's these tabular sources, Excel, and things like that, I'm thinking just use the BI tools to show that data. Because when you look at BCS, the first slide he had is like, well, what are you going to do with it? You're either going to index it with search, or you're going to use it like an external list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would try to use the tools that already exist without coding anything, right? So I would stay in that Power Query, Power BI world and just put it there and maybe even go over to Power View, right? Mm-hmm. And give them nice little filtering so they can do what they need to. And I think that looks a lot better than an external
list. Easier to maintain
personally.
As well. Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's where he's going with it.
That's a good point. That's a good point. All right. Here, that's worth the book. Oh, sorry, sir. Like support for building the subscriber and the unsubscriber? I don't know.
I don't know. Yes or no?
That I don't know.
We'll find out and get back to you.
I'd have to imagine it eventually sometime that might show up. But I've never heard that being added.
We all love XML, right?
Yeah. You already have one of these, right? But you don't.
I don't need it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's a business data column.
Yeah,
you can have a business data column, which is basically one column out of what you're representing inside your BCS schema.
Are you going to do anything with that tomorrow? Probably not.
No, not really. Oh, but if you, my contact information is here. I have tons of blogs that already cover that. We can do it that way. But the answer is yes, and I can show you how to do it.
Okay.
Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on OData. It's at 10:30. Yeah, in the Lido room.
Yeah. And it's worth a nice little, you're working on it. I think it's small. Yeah. It looks small.
Next question.
It looks pretty small. You're welcome.
I get that all the time. I get that all the time.
That's all
you.
No,
I don't.
On-prem, on-prem, you can go and you run the PowerShell to change the limit.
Yeah,
but
365.
You can't change it. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I get that question all the time.
Too. I don't know when they would. I don't know what plans they have to.
I don't know what the roadmap is for that. I do what's within my power. I want to do my power. Goes back to the earlier question in terms of just how to manage a large database. And I say, write to yourself some methods, look at what your users want. It doesn't mean it's impossible, right? Find out what your users want, find out how they're going to use it, because who really wants all of that information right now in one screen, right? Yeah, not really, no. So find out what they want, find out the best way to get it to them. I don't know where it is right now. It's probably on somebody's roadmap. If it's not, we'll put it on their roadmap and see when they respond. All right?
All right. Hey, sure.
Next.
I'm not sure what size.
They might make
it. Is there a way of getting external lists that are what?
Yeah.
Hierarchical?
Okay.
Ah, so. So.
Associations?
You can do it with associations, but I think what he's probably more getting at is. So you can use associations to get that done, right? Where you can have a parent and a child relationship and you can build that out. I've seen some people do amazing stuff with jQuery. And calling the CSOM objects to get better results that are more friendlier and more user friendly and easier to do. Yeah, I'm not a jQuery guy. I've just seen somebody do it and I said that's really cool stuff. Yeah.
Sure.
Are we done?
I got three more shorts.
What time is
Ask
the Experts?
So
okay,
first ones to get here, get an in bill we trust. Look, all right. So we have this is small and two larges.
Oh,
yeah, all right.